good evening, folks. Welcome. That's right, go hard, go home if you missed out that little chat before. If you got a sneak preview, now technical difficulties before we even started. You're welcome, folks. You're welcome. And of course, this is the Wobbly Player Syndrome Podcast. Thank you very much, Pony Hill, for another sub. Here we go. You got to give it a little time, otherwise you miss it. Ezreal's also resubscribed. Thank you very much. So, there it is. Thank you very much, folks. This is, of course, so close to a hype train. So exciting. This is, of course, a Warhammer 40k podcast at the moment with pictures. Hello.
Pictures.
With pictures, if you are joining us tonight.
We're not going to say they're pretty ones.
Oh, that's harsh. It's harsh. Can't help with the cameras doing that to us. We're very pretty in person. It's not the camera's fault.
Speak for yourself.
Speaking of speaking for yourself, we have five of us here. We'll start off with not safe for work, Mark. G'day, mate.
Hey, how are we doing?
Good. Safe for work, Mark.
Hey, everybody.
Apparently we told him it's smart casuals while he's wearing a collared shirt. We have Radio Mike.
Hey, hey.
Yeah, that's all he says. That's why we call him Radio Mike. He only uses two words. We have Adam. I'm so comfy I'm doing this from the lounge room.
Oh, it's my new position.
That's going to be interesting for the podcast when people talk about position.
And, yes, it is.
And I am Greg. Some of you may know me as Redbelly if you're watching the stream. Hi. How's your week going? How's your 2022 going, folks?
Yeah, shove that up the ass of someone and walk away.
Yeah, Yeah, next question.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think the scab on my forehead says it all.
And my one armed sunglasses, that's pretty good too.
Yeah, it's been a day.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
I am exhausted. I did a lot of running on the weekend. I umpired for one of my kids' AFL games, and then my wife stood around chatting too long, so I ended up running for the game afterwards, which none of my kids were playing in.
Think of the exercise.
Oh, then I played cricket on Sunday. So, yeah. And then, of course, tonight, the martial arts. So, good night.
Yeah. It looks like pulling a rotator cuff throwing dodgeballs at 10-year-olds. So that's my excuse.
Nice. That's always fun.
It always was at the time.
Excellent.
Should have been throwing the spinner so they could dodge a dodgeball.
You
can dodge a dodgeball.
That's it. Absolutely. So I just realised our chat on the screen is very tiny, so only tiny people can read it. What? Only tiny people can read it? That makes no sense.
Well,
it is episode
tiny.
52. We have called it, well, I called it, nobody changed it. So it's called What's the Narrative, Kenneth?
Sure. You can tell us that dad jokes are popping out there.
I'm not Kenneth, so I don't know.
No, it's not Kenneth here. It's fine. We'll move on anyway. But we'll be looking at there's several game modes of 40K, and we're going to have a look at the narrative side of things tonight. But we'll talk about a bit of other things as well. But before we get to that, we've got the most important part. I know he's dying to talk about it because it is his world. Radio Mike, what came out this week?
Well, I mean, actually, the thing that probably excites you the most, I presume, was the announcement that this weekend the new Chaos Marine Codex is going on pre-order.
That's Adam is the one excited about that.
Well, you were, like, complaining that there wasn't enough Chaos stuff.
True.
So.
It's true. I was. But that's unlike me. I'm a very humble person who never complains about anything.
Yes. So, yeah, like, there's been a bunch of stuff. Yet I still feel like I've missed some of it, coming out. So, I mean, like, we had, the Kill Team Morok expansion, Codex Chaos Knights, that came out.
Yes.
Properly. We didn't actually touch on that properly last time.
Or... Oh, didn't we? Well, that's all I've been doing for the last weeks is...
Yeah, like, so many Chaos Knights. The new War Dogs look really cool. I bought the army set that came out, but I haven't even opened it because...
Well, that's what I've been working on. I bought the army set, and that's all I've barely touched the codex because I'm too busy. I'm excited. Toys!
It does look very cool. I've been trying not to distract myself from the war on grey plastic. Codex Tyranids apparently came out in the last month. I thought that had already come out.
They said it
was for like pre-order or something, and then it vanished, and then it came back,
right.
And then
it dropped.
We had this discussion. It was supposed to come out. Why didn't it come out?
So for Australian audiences, it's finally come out. Australia and New Zealand finally can get the Tyranids Codex. Yes, that's what it was.
Cool, and the Parasite of Mortrix came out. We got a bunch, like all the terrain from the new Ash Waste box for Necromunda came out.
Yep.
Custodes Combat Patrol and a Blade Champion and the Gene Stealer Cult dude from that box set that I didn't buy. So I'm glad that those guys are now available individually. Because I was like, I need nothing in that box except the Reductus Saboteur, so I'm not buying it. Because they've gotten me with that one before.
Absolutely.
I think they've gotten us all like that.
Yes. Yeah. So, and then we also had all of the Heresy.
No. Did that come out?
So much Heresy, yeah. So I don't know if anyone's noticed, anyone who's been paying attention to Games Workshop's communiques recently might not have seen the subtle messaging that there is a new edition of Horus Heresy that has come out. Age of Darkness box set with full of delicious plastic beaky marines.
Yeah, the beaky marines. Very g'day, Joker. They had
so,
a 2-week pre-order, which I thought was hilarious. It was a 2-week pre-order, and a lot of stuff was sold out before I even got a chance to even look. Not that I was that keen, but yeah.
Fortunately, I got a stalkers to put some aside from me, so I didn't have problems with that. But yeah, so like the Liber Astartes, the Liber Hereticus, they're doing like a full book with like each side in it now, which is kind of cool. And all of the new upgrade sets for the special and heavy weapons. That new heavy assault tank, the Kratos, which looks really cool.
It's pretty mad looking.
It is. Mad looking with the mad looking price too. Anyway.
Yeah.
The new Deimos Rhinos, which is awesome to finally not have those in resin. They reboxed the Mark III tactical squads and Mark IV tactical squads in boxes of 20.
Yep.
Although they still have the full tactical box sprue, so they do have heavy and special weapons in them, unlike the Beaky Marines.
Do we know what scale those are?
They're the same. Like the you mean the Mark VI Marines?
So are they the same as firstborn scale, or
they are firstborn, but they're closer in scale to the modern Chaos Marine models. Yeah. So they are a little taller than the old firstborn models, but that scale creep is normal.
Yeah, isn't it more that they're standing up straight as opposed to crouching over their gun? They're standing up a bit more straight.
Primaris are still noticeably bigger than them.
Mm.
And Azak Araman came out. I think previously he was only in one of the box sets with the Mark IVs or Mark IIIs. And we got a bunch more stuff went up for pre-order last weekend. The Nephilim Grand Tournament Mission Pack.
Yep.
The Book of the Outlands, which is what I was excitedly ranting about before we started, because I want to get my Gorkum Walker on in the new Necromunda. You can buy that Cargo 8 Ridge Hauler, the land train thing, which you can buy the separate trailers as separate boxes. That's going to be a very expensive thing to build a whole giant thing of.
Yeah.
The Squat Gang came out that Greg hates.
I'm not alone on that.
Sorry?
I'm not alone on that. Those helmets are ridiculous. And I'm not alone on that.
There are a lot of people who don't like the helmets.
Yeah.
I'll be curious to see if they have like the combat hats that they're wearing in the artwork, if that's an option on the sprue, or if that helmet is the only thing. I'm curious to see that, and I wouldn't be surprised if someone makes like accessory heads for them of the thing that's on the book. Mine will probably have the ugly helmets just to annoy people. and then there was the new Orlok Bounty Hunter on the quad bike is going up on Forge World, surprisingly. I think I was expecting that to be on Games Workshop. But yeah, the new characters and stuff that they've been advertising, they're all Forge World for Necromunda. And I think that's all up and then coming weekend, we've got Chaos Marine stuff.
Huzzah!
Yes.
Finally. Some love for Chaos.
Yeah.
And it's not quite October, so they've done well.
Yes, Chaos will be coming out before October. They will pip it.
Well, they still have to survive 2022.
Yes.
Yeah, and some of the Snake Peaks are looking pretty cool. It's
pretty scary, actually.
The Demon Prince is one that caught my eye. It's basically, it's better than the Death Guard and Thousand Sun Demon Prince.
And Abaddon's Despoiler, or whatever his name is crazy. The Obliterators are like killing machines now.
Yeah.
Yeah, the whole Chaos Space Marines finally being better than Marines. Like, if those stat increases are to be believed.
Two wounds.
But it's not just that. It's
like two wounds and three attacks each.
Yeah, they're saying in that
sneak peek.
Mm-hmm.
Like for a basic fucking Legionnaire, that's impressive.
Yeah,
there'll be some power creep that they'll wipe out. Like, okay, this moves be underpowered.
Oh, the next also, Codex out will be Space Marines. Don't worry.
And then also, don't forget, you can actually have a Psyker in that Legionnaire group as well.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of Chaos players have complained for a long time that a 10,000-year-old Marine should be able to wax a 300-year-old Marine. So it kind of makes sense that they're individually more powerful than a normal Marine.
The way I feel, I could easily beat a 20-year-old up. Oh, my God. I hurt everywhere. But no, I'd be fine.
I don't know. Does that work? Because, I mean, being only 300 would mean that you're not creaky and old.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying, yeah. I'm the creaky and old version, so I should be able to beat up the... Yeah. I'm more wise than the 20-year-old. That's hopefully true, hopefully.
So that they should probably get a psychic bonus, you know, it's floated around the void for God knows how long and
pick up
a trigger or two, maybe cop a physical deficit for it.
Yeah. It'll be interesting. I'm looking forward to see the full book. So that's
good. I'm not a Chaos player, but I'm kind of curious how it shakes out.
Yeah, I'm not going to pick up a new Chaos force. I've got enough new forces this year, but I'm very keen to see how they go.
I'm going to be away, so I'm going to need Greg to pick up my Codex for me.
I think my weekend's now planned. Excellent.
Yeah, I have a bad likelihood of starting a new Heresy army at this rate.
Yeah, there's a few people trying to convince me to do that, and I said, oh, if I never do that, I'd build White Scars. Are you doing it? Are you doing it? No! I've already started two armies this year. I cannot do a third.
And painting white.
Yeah, start a new Salamander army. Just paint them a darker shade of green. You need more green, man.
No.
At least you wouldn't have to buy any more paint.
Yeah.
No. I'll say it again. No more green. I got enough Salamanders to go finish. Anyway, you touched on the other one that's pre-order, the Grand Tournament. Nilehilim? What is it called?
Nethilim.
Yeah. I just want to bring it up because it was a sneak peek of the command points, which there was a lot of talk about last week, of only having 6 command points, but generating 1 command point not only in your command phase, but in your opponent's command phase. And how is that going to affect a lot of teams and a lot of lists and stuff like that? Adam, how's it going to affect lists?
Well, I guess you trade your Alpha Strike for a sort of slow burn.
Yeah, I like that.
Yeah, I can kind of see that. Yeah,
I redid my Tau list for the 6 command points. I can still do the Alpha Strike with the Devilfish and stuff like that, but. As I was saying before, I've had to redesign from 2 vanguards to a single battalion, so I'm now going, instead of multiple 2 units of Crisis Battlesuits, just 1 big group of Crisis Battlesuits. Yay! And stuff like that. It's just I had to redesign what I want to have. And the Hammerhead made the list as well, which Greg loves the Hammerhead.
Yeah. But that's a great point. But, I didn't ever thought about the command point is the actual additional... detachments. Of course, that's still going to be 2 and 3 command points to bring additional detachments.
Absolutely. And it actually drops, you know, that's what I mean. I went the Vanguard and went, I'm already at 0. Ooh, I don't like that.
Yeah.
And so I had to redesign it. My demons, I had to redesign my list. So no more big exalted 4-3 Keeper of Secrets running around and stuff like that.
Yeah, why couldn't that happen earlier? Yeah.
Now you're only going to have 2.
Need 2.
Two or three. But, you know what I mean? And they'll give me 3 command points to play with. But that's the thing. You've got to rethink what you want to play. I believe you've got to look at your list and go, which ones do I want to play with?
Yeah.
Because, you know, 1 point for your warlord trait, 1 point for a relic. You've got to think and go,
yeah,
do I want to burn 2 command points straight away? Or do I want to do an alpha strike? Or do I want to do some, like your Astra Militarum, the orbital strike straight away?
Mm.
Oh, those things could, you know, have to make you think.
Those strategies that 3 CPs or 2 CPs are now, do I really need to play that? Yeah.
Mm.
But saying all that, look, it changes my witch list, absolutely, because I run around with 3 relics, 3 warlord traits. Can't really do that very much anymore. But we want to be clear, this is for grand tournaments. So if you're playing for grand tournaments, you can choose to play. It is designed for grand tournaments, I should say. You don't have to do it. You can play your normal Eternal War and stuff like that. But if you're playing a grand tournament, those are the rules you will be following. So for most people, probably won't affect it, people.
And we absolutely finish games in like 30 minutes, 40 minutes.
Yeah. Easy. Yeah, I just wanted to touch on that. I don't want to go to full conversation because that's not our topic and we've got other very exciting things to talk about. What are we doing now? Hobby! All over it, hobby! Let's go into the hobby. It is Adam with his Croissant of Doom is the first one up.
Oh, my Croissant of Doom. I'm actually, I did him last Friday. It took me all day to Friday. The Battle Barge, Tank Day. There was my Tank Day one, the Annihilator Barge. I've done almost 2,000 points of Necrons in about 2 or 3 weeks. I also did the Warp Smith from the Alteric box or whatever it was. I can't remember what box set it was. For the Chaos Space Marines and the Eldar one, I did the Warp Smith, painted him, and the Chosen from that as well, the 5-man squad of the Chosens.
Yeah.
But yeah, as I said to Greg tonight, I said, the Necrons, I've just, you know, 2,000 points, painted them all out. It's a different painting style. It's a different painting colour scheme.
Mm.
You know, I've done a lot of corrosion, made them look rusty. It's a different way to paint, and I'm enjoying it. It's just a different change.
Mm.
Yeah, you've got a lot done too, which is impressive as well.
Yeah.
The only thing with Necrons is whenever I see that fluoro green plastic, I always think those old-timey Lego space.
That's not the color. That's not that. That's the Tesseract glow.
Yeah, that's paint. You don't get those green things anymore.
No, they're gone.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow. They got rid of them like in 8th, didn't they?
Yeah, 8th was the last one I picked up where they had a minute. Yeah.
So that's pure Tesseract glow or... Oh, right.
Well, you've done well.
Or look green.
Now you're trying to remember what those Lego guys were called. I know it was the Blacktron, I think.
Yeah,
guy ones.
Yeah, and it was the bad guys that had all the fluoro green looking rooms and stuff.
Both sides had it. There was fluoro green everywhere. Mm. It was great. Yeah. I love it.
We're moving on because we're going down a wicked path. All right, so as I said, I haven't really got much completed in the last month. I've been painting my Chaos Knights and painting with white, or grey, in fact. You can see there they all are. That is 2 Warhounds and the Abomination and the Devastator in their pieces, their skeletal form. And I'm having a lot of fun to put together. I can see why you're in love with the Knights, Michael. They're really well designed and how they fit there, and that slides in there and it moves. And I'm just going, I really thought about this. This is impressive. So I've really been enjoying that. Done some work on Salamanders, did a little bit of work on Thousand Suns, did a little work, but I have been focusing mainly on the Knights. I haven't got as much airbrushing done as I'd like, but again, the blue down on the guns, you can see the weaponry. I'm happy how some of that's come out. There'll be still some more layers to go on.
I do like the burn effects on your guns. Oh, yeah. Your bronze and everything.
They look good.
Thank you. I'd hope I'm pretty good at it, considering I had salamanders. But yeah.
Yeah, but it sometimes the technique doesn't scale up to a larger piece like a Titan weapon. So, you know, yeah. you've done quite well.
Why, thank you.
Yeah, they're looking pretty good.
Cheers. What I am going to challenge myself with is do some weathering and some chipping effects on the big knight. So that could ruin the models completely, or I'll be a genius. So let's fingers crossed it's the genius, right?
mad luck.
Yeah. I've watched a few things to try and get that right, so we'll see how it goes. Michael? Yes, you've got lots of stuff.
Have I? Well, yeah, I built a whole bunch of Orlocks because Ash Wastes showed up, so I was building Orlocks. Oh, those guys are, they're not actually for this, they're for D&D.
But I wanted to show them off because they're very cool.
They are very cool. And I painted my speeders, which were my unit for the War on Grey Plastic last month. One of each of the different types of speeder. That's my Tank Day tank. Well, actually, no, it wasn't the one that I built on Tank Day because I was painting my other one, but that's my Arakurian Stormblade.
Yeah. We discussed this earlier.
The Gladiator Reaper I've been painting for the War on Grey Plastic, which I'm yet to finish this month. And then more Orlocks that I was building because I've been building a lot of Orlocks in the last month. Very excited for Ash Wastes Necromunda.
Yeah, so if everyone missed that, Tank Day was the 15th?
Yes, Tank Day was the 15th of June. It is every year. Never skip Tank Day.
Yep. Unfortunately, I didn't get a chance to do... Wednesdays is the day I can't do hobby. Unfortunately, it fell on a Wednesday. So, whoops.
Almost in range. I can always get my tank.
One day I'll have the Tank Day.
You're going to be almost in range. Slap me upside there for missing Tank Day. Yeah. Just reach across.
That actually...
I just need the hand to come from the other one.
What you were saying... What were you saying about painting with white actually reminded me of something that we didn't discuss in the new releases. Hmm. The upcoming re-release and reformulation of white spray paint that looks not shit.
Yeah.
And contrast as well is expanding too.
Quickly jump over here. Yeah. So, yes, they've announced new paints. Most of it's contrast.
Yeah. New contrast is cool. I'm just excited that there's going to be a new white spray that's like, might spray properly because I hate the current white spray so much.
Oh, it's really? it's like spraying chalk powder on your miniatures.
No, okay, I've never had any problems because I base all my nightmare with the white spray.
Speaking of you basing everything on white spray, here's your hobby effort. Here's your hobby effort.
He says, folks. Yeah. Yeah. So while I may not have accomplished as much as some of the others have, I have been trying to smash through my pile of grey that's currently under my work desk. Yet again, I'm just having fun painting these buggers. As you said, Adam, it's like it's a different style going from something to Necrons. For me, it's going from Necrons to these things and learning how to shade properly, how to dry buff properly, learning to do some of the highlighting and stuff. Mm-hmm. And it's just some of the stuff I'm coming up with, like that one that's on there now, the dude with the big sword, he's one of my favourites. This lady playing around with basing, taking a little from you there, Greg, kind of actually get some work on bases and make them look different. But I'm going to now name this lab with my spirit host. They were my 50th fuckers ever to build. Queen is the most fragile bitch I've ever touched.
Spirit host was.
Oh, yeah, spirit host, they were just so fizzy. But the Briar Queens, as soon as you put a brush against her, she just fell apart. And it's so frustrating. But I'm happy with the way the colours came out on them.
I really like the abasing, I got to say. They're looking great. It's the first thing that appeared. That popped out to me is the base, which is strange. But I like the miniature, of course, as well. But, I think the basing's come out really well.
Thanks. I've gone from that just plain black now to actually trying to do something. It's like they're ghosts in a wasteland. I as well try and make it look like it.
Yeah, that's good.
You know, they look really cool. Every time I see those models, man, they make me want to pull out Nagash and finish painting him. But Trying to stay on target.
I'm going to do it one day. Adam gifted me the black coach, and I want to get the techniques down before I try and build that, because that's going to be hopefully a masterpiece for me to finish up on for the Nighthorns.
Be fine. You'll be fine. All right, cool. So that's our hobby progress. Some did a lot more than others. I'm enjoying the bits that I haven't finished, but I'm still enjoying it. So leave me alone. Speaking of leave me alone, let's go to battle reports. That makes no sense. Shut up. All right, so normally we would have Anthony here, but he's not here. I don't know if it's because of this battle that he had against Chris. It was Eldari versus Grey Knights. The models are looking fantastic as the Grey Knights, as always. You have to check our Facebook page up, because Chris does write up a really sweet little battle report with the story behind it, characters and stuff. It's great. I'm not sure if Anthony wants to read the story again, because unfortunately the Grey Knights did not do so well.
But it was close one, I think.
Actually, no, this was close. Only 5 point, it was 5 point game, wasn't it? Yeah, 5 point game. So this was actually much better. Chris is still one that we all have to play against him more often and beat him more often. Just saying. Yeah. I just saw my frames are out of whack. It's crazy. So, yeah, you can see some good shots there. This was a close match. 5 points between it. Have a look at our Facebook page to get the full rundown of how the story went.
I really enjoy reading the battle reports from Chris.
We need him to do all of them. Yeah.
Writes him up well.
Yeah, he does. It's quite entertaining. And the other game was my Drakari Witches versus Adam's Keeper of Secrets, plus this other fodder he have. And you can talk about it, because I don't need to cry in public.
Well, I think turn two, I was waiting to be kicked out of his house.
Well,
it really just started with three Keeper of Secrets, Shalaxi, which is the named Keeper of Secrets, and Bellicor. They're the ones that survived, and then it was just two fiends, a lot of demonettes, not that many demonettes, and some seekers, which are the chariot, riders. But the Keeper of Secrets were just like, couldn't kill, nothing could kill them. Because they're all exalted. They were all exalted. They all had the shields. So it was like a five up in Vaughn, four up in Vaughn, but no, they also had
the wound on a four plus. Four up
disgusting
in Vaughn,
resilience.
Disgusting resilience.
And also, minus one for hits and minus less one damage, and because of the rolls which I did for the exalteds.
What, less one it attack? Just...
Now, also, within saying this, this was a list that Greg gave me and mentioned to me, I think, in January, saying, hey, this was an ITC list. And I went, I have this at home. And they had Furies in the list, and I went, I don't like Furies. Dumped the Furies and found another Fiend or something like that. And it had more Demonettes. And I had more Demonettes. They had more Fiends. And I went, I don't like their list, but I like the idea of the list. And we ran the list. And you and Greg will sit back and agree that it's a definite tournament list.
Oh, absolutely.
It was definitely.
Yeah, so my witches, unfortunately, the last two matches they've played have been against tournament lists, and it showed in the results. Unfortunately, I just could not wound these Keeper of Secrets. I was getting rid of all his chaff, but I just couldn't. I thought, I was trying to stay away from him and shoot him, but because they move 400 inches a turn, you can't get away from him.
I didn't get turn one. I didn't get advantage on turn one, so Greg got it, and I really wanted it because it would have been.
I would have had a turn to shoot.
Yeah, there wouldn't have been any shooting, but it was. I can see why those. It's not those lists, but I would hate to be on that side facing it.
Well, if you're that serious about tournament, there would be another tournament list against you, so that would have some. Like, they wouldn't have a full witch army, which...
No, but if someone... I can see when someone brings in a tournament list and you're not a tournament player. It's like, I'm sorry, but Merry Christmas.
Yeah, very much so. So in the end, It was game over by end of turn three.
Yeah.
Yeah. I started well. I had a really good, because it was Tempest of War we played. And the first three cards went, sweet, I'm 15 up. Hey! And then everything else after that was kill this. Went, no. Kill this and shooting. Still no! And I had nothing left on the table. It was brutal. Just brutal. But there you go. So that's it for the core ladder matches. It still keeps Anthony on top, but now Adam is tied with the same points. It's just his win percentage is a little lower. So it does make it interesting for first, second place. Somehow I'm still the helm to third, even with 9 losses this year. And Chris is catching up. He finally played his bonus point for the first time, so he's actually made it a 2-point difference between me and him. Damn it. That was my only way I was going to beat him. So it does make it interesting. We did have Crusade Night, which leads nicely into the narrative play we'll talk about tonight. So we had a Crusade Night. We had 2 games running at a time. I took my Death Guard. There they are there. That's my Death Guard list. Yes, that is before the Terminators entered. I got to play Anthony with his Blood Angels first up. I'm just trying to remember how that went. very well. It became, actually, it was very close. It was only 7-point difference at the end of the match. But it was a lot of fun. I really enjoyed Crusade match because it does have a nice feel to how the way plays and stuff like that. The other match was Eldari, Chris again versus you.
My Tau. And it was a bloodbath. It was like whatever you killed this turn, it comes back next turn at the edge of the table. And it was just like rolling thing. And Chris beat me by an astronaut. It was like 90 to 85. It was not that much. It was just a bloodbath. It was just straight in, pure murder fest. Very enjoyable. Got a couple of experience points for them for the next round. Yeah, so I like the narrative as well, but we'll discuss that later on.
Yeah, and the third game played to that was, again, my Death Guard versus Eldari. But I had enough points to bring in a new unit, so I brought in some Death Shroud Terminators. And I table wiped the Eldari. So I can win in Crusade. So that's all I'm playing for the rest of the year. Sodja. That was a very one-sided battle because he was tabled. It was 90 to 20. So Death Guard in that small size battle does really, really well.
Yeah.
So there you go. Tip for all the Crusade players. I think it'll be different when the forces get larger. It'll balance out. But we'll see. We shall see. But that's all the battle reports. So we were more planned, but life, 2020 gets in the way of things, unfortunately. We'll see what happens next. And if you'd like to the party, yes, my glasses only have one arm. And yes, I know. It happened right before we pressed record that the arm decided to go, I don't like it here, I'm out.
It's what all the unhinged people wear.
Yeah. Looking cool.
Get it?
Yes. I see what you're saying.
Sorry.
And on that note, we'll go have a break, then we'll come back and talk about the real stuff we want to talk about. What's the narrative, Kenneth? I'm not there. Shut up. Let's go to a break.
We are Rollers, and we have the games for you, be it board games, card games, dice games, or party games. You name it, and we have it. Find us online at rollersboardgames.com and follow us on Facebook and Instagram at rollersboardgames.
From acoustic to distortion, Storyboard Concept is music that's honest, relaxing, and full bore rockin' music. Follow Colin at storyboardconcept.bandcamp.com.
And I'll do the last sip. I'll give it a nice slurp.
Got that, everyone? Who's going to give it the last slurp? Come back in. And that was just timing of the ad. I wasn't waiting for you to say something silly. It was just timing of the ad.
That's what I do.
That I control. But welcome back, folks. And yes, welcome to episode 52. What is the narrative, Kenneth? Now, 40K. When someone says I play 40K, there are many ways to play Warhammer 40K. That's one thing I've really enjoyed about the 9th edition is GWR making multiple ways to play the game. No, there's no right way, there's no wrong way. There's a choice, and you're free to how you want to play. You've got classic Eternal War. That's straight out of the rulebook. Use the rules that are in the rulebook. Go for it. Go nuts. Right? That's using your secondaries and things like that. We talked about the new Nephilim.
Nephilim.
Nephilim. Which is
the new Grand Tournament.
Which is built for Grand Tournament and it has Grand Tournament rules such as the 6 CP instead of the normal 12 and so, things like that. They've got Tempest of War, my favourite way of playing and the only way you should play, but there's no wrong answer, no right answer, but it's the only way you should play. And you've got Open Play, which is brutal. I'm not a fan of Open Play. It's too much of a swing in that game.
All of the things, all of the time.
Yes.
All of the places.
Of course, you've got Crusade, we just talked about, which is just story-driven. You start small, you build up your characters with experience points and so on. And you've got narrative play where you talk to your guy, your friend or foe about, let's reenact this and stuff like that. I think we wanted to focus on the narrative play. I think that sort of leans more into the Crusade and that side of the game. You can correct me if I'm wrong, folks. You are here too. You're allowed to speak.
We also have Kill Team as well. You can do narrative Kill Team as well.
Yeah, so they've made Kill Team. And if you go to the other ones, you've got Necromunda, Warcry, and all these other different ways to play games. Excuse me. Kill Team is, of course, more 40K than all the other ones I just said, so ignore those. I'll wipe those in the editing. Shh.
Yes, the editing.
I'll mark the time down when I did that.
Because we're professional.
Says a man drinking out of a phone box.
Yeah, it's got no lid. It'll be fine. It's bigger on the inside.
Yeah. Leave that alone. It's bigger as a house. No one gets that reference. Good. It's probably good. So, we talked about Crusade. Now, the difference between Crusade. Who wants to tell us what Crusade is for the people who don't know?
I nominate Adam.
Yeah.
Right. So Crusade is, you start a like really basic army, 25 power level. It's more, no longer points, it's going into power level side because it's easier to go to escalate it up. So picture your starting force, rag bones, starting very small, and then you're slowly building them up with battle honours, your commanders. You don't even... technically, if you start with 25 power level, you do not have enough requisition points to give a warlord trait or a relic. So he's practically just a brand new leader. So can you imagine a brand new form?
Aspiring champion, squads? You could say.
What's that?
An aspiring champion, you could say.
Absolutely, but he's just starting. So you've got a practically almost a patrol, and you just build up, and then you build up to your unbelievable, you know, your warlords can, you know, one shot a titan or something like that, you know, in the storylines and stuff like that. It would probably never happen, but you can do that. And as they go up, they gain experience. And every time they gain experience, they get, you know, different skills or weapons. And then also at the end of the game, so they build up to like 200 power level or 150 power level, I think it was.
I think you capped ours at 150, didn't you?
But you can keep going as big as you want. But also at the end of every game, anyone that took damage or got wiped off the table takes, you have to do a battle test. Mm-hmm. And then they can actually either lose all their experience or lose their movement, half their movement speed, or their weapon skills degraded and stuff like that. So it actually helps you build your story and your soldiers and your units and stuff like that within a storyline. So you can sit back and go, one good old one eye over there is there.
Yeah.
And that's what he's there for. That's why, you know, back in 25th game, he lost an eye. That's what we all call him. And everyone has a story. So the idea of every single unit has a data card, which has got a storyline and, you know, everything like that. They've got their own names.
Yeah, I was going to say, one of the things you have to do when you put them in their list is you have to give them a name.
Mm.
Yeah, because that's how this narrative forms. It's So if you've got a Joe Bloggs, you can call him whatever you want. Joe Bloggs works, but you know, it's taken. But then you've followed the path of Joe Bloggs going through as aspiring champion who's leading this ragtag patrol, who happens to bump into another ragtag patrol of Poxwalkers grinning at them silly, going, oh crap, but they survived and they got the story to tell.
And Poxwalkers won't get an experience.
Shut up. But yes, you know, no actions, no XP. They're useless in the Crusade.
I like the idea. I like the narrative. I like the Crusade because it's you're building your story of your soldiers, of your unit. So it's quite good.
Yeah, I find you get invested in the characters. And yeah, you might get to a point that they've got so many XP and you've got to build them up and they might be the last person standing. You start running. I don't want him to die. But it becomes a very interesting play then because, you know, we all play the game to have fun, right? If you play the game to win, this is not, just go away. That's Crusade's not for you. Just have fun.
So what are the additional elements here? Like in terms of like rules and stuff like that,
rules
over and above, you know, just like a regular rules and army.
So it's still a regular 40k rules. So you've got the same stratagems and stuff like that. You start with it. If it's a small army, you only get 3 command points and stuff like that. You can design your story, your battle to be certain things. So if you sit back and go, this battle, the winner will get 2 requisition points, whereas the loser will get 1 requisition point, whereas the next battle, because it's a massive battle, the winner will get a automatic relic.
Is
all of the stuff that decides that and tracks your names of your stuff, like, are you getting that in the codexes or where are you getting all of that from?
So the most annoying part of a codex is where the Crusade rules sit.
But also,
so yes, they're in the codex in a very inappropriate place. Yes.
If you don't have the codex, you can use the core rulebook, which has got a big codex section in there, which has got the data sheets and stuff like that, that you can actually reproduce. It actually says Games Workshop's allowed approval for reproduction for your own personal use and stuff like that. So that's there already. And then the core rulebook has specific relics for an entire other thing. But then you can actually go and get the book, the Crusade book. And if everyone's running from that Crusade book from where to go, you can start the storyline, and it's a storyline based driven, but it's also up to like a dungeon master to run the Crusade to decide this battle. The winner will get a relic, so you really want to win if you can.
Yeah,
or you need a loser, like a
Necromunda arbitrator or something to run.
Yeah, exactly. But then you also you could even benefit and go, the loser will get a relic. So it's up to however you want to do it.
Yeah, there's a really cool part for each faction as well, that they have to choose for each sort of battle is their agenda. What are they trying to achieve in this battle? So there's a mission, right? The mission might be go discover this relic, go dig up something. You've walked along, you bumped into someone. Survive. That's as simple as that. But you also have an agenda. I just grabbed the Dracari book from behind me. Like, their agendas are pretty brutal. Like, capture people to torture. Keep a captive tally. So they've got to work out how many people they kill in combat because they've actually taken them away for the pens and stuff like that. So it's very Jakari sort of style.
Yeah, the tower's got ones with this, like, kill everyone in the first turn or in the last turn. Every time you kill one in the first turn, you get that unit gets an experience point automatically. Yeah. Or every beacon that you do, you get an experience point, and it's an agenda. So it's like, picture it as your secondary objective. There is no secondary objectives. You only have the mission specific and whatever your agenda is.
And you've got to keep a tally of what actions your characters do and units. It's not all characters. It is very unit driven as well. So if you've got a unit of 5 Marines and they gain experience, they will get a special ability. I can't think of the word that they what it's called.
They go bloodied.
Bloodied. They level up. They get bloody, which means they might get an increased... what else? What do they get? They're going to have a requisition for that unit, I think.
They've got a couple of options. You can get every single weapon will go up by one AP.
Yeah. And that unit carries it. So they can show that they're a veteran unit because they've lived longer, they've experienced longer, and things like that. But I do like, I just want to go, one of the favorite ones on the agenda is the Drakari. You know the Drakari. They're very selfish people, right? One of them is called take credit. So every time someone else gets experience, they take the credit and get an experience point for it as well.
Nice.
I love it. No, I did that. Yeah.
Also, if you've got an army that doesn't have a codex, a 9th edition codex at the moment, you can use the core rulebook.
Yeah, it's got agendas
for
in
your agendas, for your relics, for your everything like that as well. So you don't need to have a 9th edition codex to run with.
And one of the other cool things, if you're interested in, you know, we try to run in past a territory game. Like, you know, everyone's landed on the same planet looking for something, and it's quite harder to do when you're trying to do it with 40K normal rules. They actually have the rules that give you territory advantages in this Crusade rules. There's a whole list for the Drakari if they've got certain territory dominance and what they get out of it. And things like that. So that's easier for you to make that campaign style of play as well.
Also, it's good for the thing of, say, you know, Mark, you want to come into the Crusade, but we're already halfway through the Crusade. No problems.
Come on.
It doesn't matter. You go, you look at the people's XP or...
Crusade points.
Crusade points. And then it's like, divide by half, and then you get more command points than Greg, and then what you can do is you can boost up your army with your command points.
Yeah.
Okay.
So it's a lot. They've kind of made it fairer. Like, all right, Greg's army will be having a lot more experience because they've got AP and their leader is, you know, super buff, but hey, you've given them like multiple warlord traits and multiple relics and everything like that because you can. So the chance of taking him out first will be, you know, guaranteed. So you can bring someone that has no crusade, has just started with the crusade, can jump halfway through or even jump into the end. It doesn't matter.
And you get to customize that army the way you want to play. Like, I have got a fair amount of points in my army so far because I've played, I think, one more game than most. Oh, two, because you started a new list.
Yep.
I haven't bought a warlord trait. I haven't. All I've done is increasing my force instead. So I'm going for more bodies than trying to boost up a character. I'm saying, oh, we're going to requisition. Well, basically, I wanted to get rid of the Poxmoor because it's the real truth. Because once they're on your list, they're on your list. You can spend points to get rid of them. If you bring them back, they had come back with no XP and stuff like that. So you do build a list that way. I learnt the hard way, don't do Poxwalkers. They're not worth it.
So what happens if you've got a small group, like, you know, five is whatever, two, three, five, whatever. One player continually wins and they start getting, you know, as Adam was saying, the artifacts or the more requisition. But does it end up working out that one player becomes massively OP to the other?
So everyone still gets a requisition point if you lose.
Yeah.
So it just means that sooner or later you're going to play with someone that's at the same level as, like, the same requisition points as you. You can hold off experience, like, requisition points to save up a big unit, whereas he's winning a lot, meaning his guys are getting experience. So he's blowing his requisition points on increasing his power level.
And don't forget,
every time one goes up, he goes up a power level.
Correct.
So
they become more expensive.
They become more expensive, whereas your army is not as expensive, but you're banking your requisition points, and then you can only bank 5 requisition points. So you go, right, I'm going to bank these 5, spend 2 to go up to 10 command points, and I'm going to bring this big unit. And next thing, you steamroll him.
Gotcha.
I haven't actually read the rules yet, but from what you were saying earlier, I assume that if someone's winning more games and getting more of the shit, they're going to have a higher crusade point total.
Correct.
Yes.
So their opponent will receive the benefits, the Necromunda style giant killer bonus, where the underdog gets some mechanical benefits.
Well, you'll get more command points.
Basically more command points, which means you get access to more stratagems. You get more, which can be quite useful if you don't have a lot of command points at the start.
And that's why we had Chris, because he was like behind Greg the last time, and I went, "Well, all right, you get another 3 command points on top." And he goes, "Oh, so he spent relics and warlord traits and was going crazy. It still didn't really help him."
Yeah, he tried, but because Death Guard just went up to him and just went bop, because it was Eldar, and as soon as I got into combat, it wasn't because there was a lot of them. It was simply because I finally got in combat and he couldn't run away quick enough.
Well, I mean, you're always going to have a little bit of that because, again, I mean, not every side has a codex or hasn't had the updates for their stratagems or their, warlord traits and all of the other random stuff that just gets updated through the course of a game, really.
Yeah, and you've got to learn. I mean, as I said before, I think, especially Eldari, I think when he gets more requisition points, his army gets bigger, he'll be able to bring in more aspect warriors. Like, he couldn't do that with the lower points, so he was limited. Because you still need to have a legitimate detachment. So patrol would be the key one for the lower ones. You can't just have one no HQ, 408 elites. Yeah. It still needs
still,
to be
it's
a
still
legitimate.
Be Battleforged.
Yeah, thank you, Battleforged. Yeah.
But you can start your army with at 15 power level and a warlord trait and a relic, which will get you up to the equivalent of a 25 power level army, where or you blow it all and get up to 25 power level.
But the idea is you customize it. If you've got a good, I'm going to say GM, not DM, because we're not all in dungeons. We've got GMs. Mm-hmm. They could customize it as they want it. You know that horrible slow grow we did a couple of years ago? Mm-hmm. Horrible slow grow. I think
I don't remember being so bad.
Shut up. Shut up.
Yeah, I had fun.
Shut up. Shut up, all of you. I think if we had the Crusade rules and that sort of agendas and stuff like that, their balance might have been there more so.
The story-based missions would be really good with the Crusade.
Yeah.
Because then you're actually coming into a story-based thing. I think it's good. If people because then instead of, you can make a fluffy list. Look, I'm going to run with these. And you go, well, why are you running this? Well, that's what my commander likes.
Well, it's nice to it is nice to be able to put together that and having the framework there available so that you can run like a narrative campaign.
Yeah,
is really good. I mean, for mine, I tend to prefer just to do like custom missions and stuff like that.
But then
what you can do is with your narrative missions, your open play narrative within Crusade, you can sit back and go, right, yeah, and that's what I mean. You can sit back and go, right, yeah, guys, tonight, this Crusade mission, the loser gets the relic. And you're going, oh, I really want to lose, but I don't want to lose. You know what I mean? Or you get a relic for losing, but you get 2 requisition points for winning. And you're going, oh, which one do I really want to do? The requisition points, or do you want the relic for free?
Yeah, for me, I'd be going for the requisition points on that. I want a bigger army.
That's what I mean. There you go. But then if you lose and you're going to win, you still got something that out of it, but you still get 1 requisition point and a free relic. So you sit back on, win.
As I said, it's something you can get really invested in your army because you start. You've followed this person throughout all this squad, throughout all these battles, and look at you're writing down, like, you've got to keep tabs of how many enemy units they killed, not just for the battle, but for the crusade that they're playing them for. So you can see how they've been gone and stuff like that. There's even a part as...
it's a bit like a red guy.
Yeah, you do. Like, I've now got a point that my virulence points... You can't be Mortarian's Anvil. You can't be one of those sects. You actually get virulence points, which will create your own, what are they called? Chapter. That'll do. Yeah. So I've got the virulence points up to the point that I'm now called the Seeping Pox Ridden Lesions. That's my. That's what they're called. And that's because that's how it was randomly generated. It wasn't me picking it. It was random generated. So, and it has. I'm seeping. So if I'm close to you, you're going to get penalized because all these pox risens will get you. But I've also lesions, so I also can hurt myself at the same time. So it's got a nice counter effect in how to do it. And I really enjoy it.
I also do like the other side of the battle scars and stuff like that. You know.
Yeah. If anyone's played Blood Bowl, you know how much you can get invested with each star player. Think of this for 40k. That's what it is. You go, this guy's got all the points. Oh no, he's about to get hurt. I'll spend all my rerolls to make sure he lives here.
Yeah, we actually played, we put a lot of rules like that into a previous Heresy campaign we played. Yeah. And I really liked the way it made me change the way I played my army. Like, I'd be like, oh, I've got a couple of levels. Like, my Praetor is leveled up. He's got a bunch of stats. And I'm in this situation. And I'm like, I could charge over there and I might win the battle. But I'm far more likely to get fucking annihilated. And then he has a good chance of dying. And I've got to start again.
Yeah.
So I'm like, do I charge in and go for broke? Or is discretion the better part of valor? And my leader's about to fuck off.
You can play it that way. But you might have, like, if it's a Khorne Berserker or something, like, well, he's got all these points. He could go over there and, he's going to be better if he lives, though. But I'm a Khorne Berserker. I'm charging because that's what they do.
That's where
Fluffy can get into it, yeah.
And this is also where some of the rule of cool comes in.
Yeah.
Where you have those cool moments where they're not necessarily in your favor. It's like how the joyousness of Perils of the Warp or, you know, rolling three jam dice on your rapid fire or something, you know.
Yeah. As I said, it just gives that flavor. We play to have fun. And you can have a good big 40k game, 2,000 points, and you have events happen. You go, oh my god, I can't believe that happened. I rolled 3 ones and stuff like that. But at the same time, all right, that army lost. Yeah, I'll build a new list next week. Yeah, this one. Oh, this list. Oh, how am I going to build this? What am I going to do? He's hurt. Oh no, do I keep him? Do I not keep him? He's missing a leg. Do I get him a mono wheel? I don't know if there's a mono wheel. There should be for an orc player. it just gives that extra level. And I love that. For me, I love that type of game where I can. It's not just the game on the table, it's also the aftermath of the game. So I'd be sitting at home going, oh, I don't know about him. Do I bring someone else in? No, I'm going to keep him and just build that character up and all the units and say, how do I want to play that? What do I want to do? Do I want to keep him? Poxwalkers, they're out.
Yeah, it's all the stuff that I love about Gorkamorka and Necromunda and Blood Bowl, but kind of sprinkled into 40K, which is pretty cool.
Yeah. Mm.
It was in 8th edition, but it wasn't really the rule book didn't really explain much about Crusades and stuff like that. It was 9th edition that actually did have Crusades in it.
So there's always been narrative play. Mm. But that's the sort of, there's no real rules for it. It's basically, let's reenact something.
Not even that. It's really just take a couple of armies and throw them together with, you know, the objectives and things that you want.
Yeah.
And yes, it's very freeform and everything like that. And if you're prepared to put the effort in to construct a mission and do the objectives and all of that sort of stuff, you can have a really good time. I mean, look at our Starship Troopers.
Yeah, that's fun.
Battle as an example there. That's sort of a really good test case there where you go, okay, well, we have this, events happen during certain turns or when certain events happen and things like that, and we can make it all fluffy and we can say, right, don't bring any, you know, titans or don't do this or do that for whatever thematic reason.
Yeah.
But the other thing that you have... That's the sort of, I guess, the double-edged sword on that is that you've actually got to be prepared to put in that level of effort to actually just invent all that stuff from scratch. Whereas with the Crusade, you've got, like, it's like a toy box. You've kind of got elements you can pull out of, you know, out of the book, and you can go, yes, I want that. No, I don't want that, and throw it together. And it doesn't have somebody sitting for a month thinking about how to balance a mission out or whatever. Yeah. It's just sort of, hey, if I chuck all this stuff in, it'll work.
Yeah. Like, it's the 40K equivalent of, like, writing your own D&D campaign versus using a pre-written module.
Yes. Yes. Been talking a lot about D&D. What podcast is this? No, it's very true. Yeah. As I said, there's many ways to play 40K. As I said, I love playing Eternal War. Not Eternal War. Tempest. What's that called now? Tempest War.
It's Maelstrom, let's be honest.
It's Maelstrom. I've always loved playing Maelstrom. For me, it works well because I have to be on more on the fly with the secondaries than build a list for a secondary because I'm not good at it, apparently.
I like the randomness of the Maelstrom ones.
The drama that can happen is that, oh no, I need 5 points, so I've got no way to get it.
I enjoy the way it encourages you to build a flexible list and play in a flexible way. It discourages that I have built a hammer, I can hammer nails.
Yes.
Kind of approach to army building.
Yes.
Mm.
Yes. So, yeah. So, and then I think this is another level again. Now it's called What's the Narrative, Kenneth? And we've really talked about Crusade. <Come on. laughs> But I think if you're looking to find a way to play a consistent narrative for your 40K, that's probably the biggest part, the consistency. You've got a storyline that follows through. Crusade, pick it up, look at it, get involved. I know when they first announced it, the big, you know, oh my God, so long ago, you can now play Crusade. And that was it. I was spent. That's why I wanted that, been wanting that for ages. True, we've only just started playing Crusade finally this year. Doesn't matter. We got there. But
we tried it last year, but events happened where we couldn't continue it.
Yeah, things have happened.
Yes.
The world.
The world is not in... Yes.
Yeah. Gestures menacingly to the outside world.
What about narrative? There's narrative in iOS. I feel like iOS seems to have a bit more narrative than a standard game of 40K.
Yeah, I haven't touched the narrative side. I've just been going to the open battles and having a bit of fun there. Just hammer down, turn up, turn it. Who am I going to get smashed by this week? So my up is shit. And, but I am aware that the narrative style is actually building. It is building and getting better. I don't know whether it was the template for the 40K version or vice versa. I haven't experienced it enough, so I'll have to have a look into that.
Yeah. There you go. I spoke about AOS. You feel better?
Yeah, fuck you. Fuck you. Fuck you.
I'm going to leave this part out. Yeah.
AOS has almost gone the other way because when AOS first came out, it was only narrative play.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. With no points.
Yeah. 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 Where the points, where, you know, the questions are made up and the points don't matter.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Good things I'm kind of glad I went away from that. Move it. Yeah. Oh, okay. So, what else about narrative? What do you want to say about narrative? Mark, has it got your interest? Because you can start small. Like, you could use it as a slow grow, or you could use it as just existing army and just try and build some intimacy with it.
Yeah, and that's exactly it. My attraction to narrative is always that the focus isn't always just on I must crush the other army into the dust by turn two kind of mentality.
Yeah.
You know, and it does flesh things out. You know what I mean? Winning is nice, obviously, but, you know, I always remember those games where I had some cool event or there was, you know what I mean? Like you'll have a game where you paced someone and you don't remember it
at all.
You go, I won, but I can't remember what I did. Whereas, you know, when you've got that last guy hanging on by one wound and has managed a lucky boxcar roll that like just decimates something.
Yeah.
You always remember that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We didn't touch on that, but at the end of each Crusade battle, you do have to give a player of the match, as in a unit of the match award. Oh, okay. So who stood out?
Who's the MVP?
That's the one, yep, MVP.
That's
cool. Yeah. So
that's cool.
Pure, greatly built for those. I've just rolled the box. I needed to roll, you know, 12 to win the game. I did it. Ah! Yeah. And so they automatically get it because they're just too cool to school.
And I think they get one experience or something like that.
Yeah. And that found it well balanced. I've played three games and no one's over the top with the experience points and stuff. Like, you've got to think about that too. You can have one character get all the experience points, but then you're leaving all your other people well behind and just stock standard.
And it makes that character that's got multiple experience points
a really big target.
First one off the table.
Really big target, yeah. So, for me, yeah. I've spread it across, mainly because I didn't realise that at the start, but that's not the point. Yeah.
Yeah, anyone who's played a lot of Blood Bowl knows the dangers of having that one star player surrounded by shit players when you play against a team where everyone has skills.
Yes. Yes. Whereas if my Blood Bowl came out, that's why it's happened that way.
Very cool.
Yeah. So that's Crusade. That's how, if you want to play a continuous narrative game, take a look at Crusade. That's why you're going to build your army up, get some character behind it, invest in the units themselves, kick out the Poxwalkers. I think I've said that just once so far. and it gives you an opportunity to try new units as well. Like, I've never used this unit before. I might put it in, see how it goes, as opposed to having a 2,000-point list. Oh, it's a new model. Usually the first one dead. We all know that, for new model syndrome.
But don't be afraid to throw out the rule book because, as I said, you know, a free-form narrative thing, you're really only limited by your imagination when it comes to any scenario or anything you want to play. I mean,
some of the lists which I've seen on Crusades, and you hear people talking about them. This is my fluffy list. This is what my commander would run. He likes these things.
Yeah.
Would I do it in a normal game? Hell no, but it's a fun list.
Yeah.
And see, you can always create a story as to why a unit or an army or a detachment has been created with shit units.
Yeah.
Yep.
And, you know, you can say the guy pissed off the general and that's what he's been given, and he's been told, right, put up and shut up. And
then this
is the chronicle of the misfits, you know.
Yeah. And I could physically see an army built, and you go, the general is not even giving you any heavy support.
Yeah.
Don't even look at heavy support. You only have troops.
You've slept with his daughter, and now you're being punished. Yeah.
Exactly. Or, you know, any number of narrative reasons can have that. You know, you could have been caught in an ambush and your reinforcements have been blown up to bits and, you know, all kinds of stuff like that. And 40K is one of those things, and I guess really tabletop in general, lends itself to using a bit of imagination.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I think it's a pretty key part there, is if you want to play tournament play and you build that list to do that, nothing wrong with that. Absolutely nothing wrong. Go nuts. Just don't have four bloody keepers and Bellacore, please.
It is worth having a look at the other side of things, where it is less rigid and you can you basically have fun with it. You know, you're not in rules lawyering mode.
Yeah.
And that's a relaxing space to be.
It's a good point with the rules, because if you wanted to play that, but without Crusade, if you wanted to play that storytelling, you'd have to play Necromunda or Kill Team. Different rule set. So you've got this whole unit, okay, I've got five people, doesn't really get me use of my rest of my miniatures and stuff like that. This is 40K. Same rules, same gameplay rules.
Yeah. You can get that Necromunda experience without having to buy Necromunda and Necromunda models and Necromunda terrain. You can use 4K stuff.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
You go nuts. You get a character that's suddenly missing an arm or something. Model it. You know, maybe not go cut off an arm. Maybe get another miniature without an arm and paint it up. That's my new guy.
Quote the Necromunda rulebook. Put away those clippers.
Yeah.
It's the miniature who's boss.
But yeah, with the Chaos ones, you can become a Chaos Spawn. I can't wait to see what happens. Come on, Demon Prince. Come on, Demon Prince. Chaos Spawn it is. Yeah.
And as I said, I mean, this is the flexibility of the system in general is that, and it's kind of funny, when I first got into 40K, the dream was always, oh yeah, I want to have like 10,000 points worth of minis and stuff and have these huge games that run forever. And as I've approached having point levels of, you know, similar, you know, of what I envisioned, I sort of sit there and I find myself gravitating back toward those smaller games like Kill Team and a lot of these early Crusade stages, because you have that intimacy there because you've got one character and a squad, or you've got, you know, you've very, very little stuff and every model on the board counts at that point. Whereas when you're paying, you know, even a 2,000 point game, you have room for units where you're just like, yeah, they're just going to run in and die and I don't care, that's their job.
Yeah.
Whereas in the smaller thing, you care more.
Yeah. Yep. They don't tend to have your meat shield units, yeah.
Yeah, and I think there's a fair few people who just overlook that in favour of the tournament scene and everything like that, and they may fall off the wagon very quickly, whereas investing a bit in the narrative might, you know, it's a more relaxed and focus is on fun, not on winning.
That's and, you know, it's especially good if you've been playing in the tournament scene and you start to burn out, just trying something different. Like, I went from playing CanCon every year and then I was just hooked up with the Heresy, like their narrative group, playing like really narrative focused games. And it was just so different and refreshing, and it kind of kept me in the hobby.
Well, that's a great point. Yeah. Horus Heresy is now out, and that's very narrative driven, isn't it? It's a set.
It can be. Battles.
Yeah. So can you tell us more on that one at all, quickly?
I mean, like it's the same as 40K. I haven't read the new edition rulebook, but I mean it's 7th edition 40K basically.
Yeah. With templates.
So the narrative is there because it's just the same kind of thing, like just the open narrative stuff, and the guy running the campaign wrote his own character progression rules for how characters advance and what has a higher chance to kill them. And because Heresy, it's almost the historical wargaming of 40K.
Don't tell me the ending. Yeah.
Well, you can go, well, because it's, you know, you go, I want to use this chapter. Like, I saw one guy is building the Nemesis chapter from the Ultramarines, which is the 226th chapter of the Ultramarines Legion, and they had a specific color scheme, and they participated in different specific battles, and they had specific compositions they used. And so you can do that. Or you can just build something crazy, you know? you can choose to play it in a very kind of really interesting historical wargaming way, or play it really narratively, or just play it the same way you do 40K, you know?
Yeah. My understanding is, they've got very set. We're going to reenact Istvan, or we're going to reenact so-and-so. That's what
They can be. There are people who do that. Yeah. But most of the stuff I got involved in was like, you know, I was involved in the Baylonian Insurrection, which was a map campaign where, you know, we had designated warlords for the traitors and the loyalists, and we had to decide which planets we were going to invade and which players and which legions would get sent to which planets and how big the forces would be on each planet. Yeah. And we had to keep track of our supply lines and build fortresses on the planets. Like, it was crazy in depth and really fun.
Yeah. Joker's just got a comment from Joker. The Joker paints... Mission with GT style players, you need to fork out a new book every 6 months. You do now. Every 6 months, a new grand tournament. For me, the versatility of Tempest, Open War, to run a slow grow crusade without having to fork out to get special books all the time. Yeah.
Yeah, 100%.
I mean, I totally agree that it sucks that they've, like, annualized the rules.
It's basically twice a year, every 6 months. Yeah.
Part of me is like, at least you have consistent rules now.
Okay, so just with that, though, they've made a very specific classification of the new book. It is for Grand Tournament. So if you're going to play in Grand Tournaments, you have to buy this book.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, your points are now free. Remember, we used to have to get those points upgrades, but they're now free on the community site. So that's no longer required. So I think with this one, they've really made it quite clear. If you want to play your everyday game of 40K, you don't need this book. You can use the existing books you have.
See, the flip side to that, though, is that you're not stuck with last year or 2 years ago's Grand Tournament rules with some busted rule that's putting some dude chucking down half a dozen Storm Ravens as a spam list.
Stopping you, not you know what I mean? The 6 point so, level. The only difference
between the swings and roundabouts, there,
right? The secondaries would change depending on the. That was the other part we could have gone down with the narrative. Is where is 40K going as a narrative with all these war zones and stuff like that? But if we started that, we'd be here till next week.
Yeah. The swings and roundabouts on the, roundabouts on this kind of seasonal kind of approach they've developed, because it costs more because you have to keep buying the new rules, but at least, as you say, you don't get stuck with really massively outdated rules for extended years and years and years. Like, we've all been the player who had the shit rules. Back when I started playing, you know, you got a rules update when the edition changed every 5 years.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And I kind of can appreciate that getting the rules update every 6 months is way better than every 5 years.
But rules being updated? Like, we haven't come out yet. I'm only going by what I've seen and from other vendors and stuff like that. It's the only rules update is Grand Tournament rules, so it's a 6 CP, the secondaries have changed.
Yes, and the secondaries, and, you know, they look at, as we said, they look and change the points values, and they've looked at the way CP works and gone, no, that's fucked, and they've changed that. I know that that's separate, but they are still doing regular updates of that, and that's better than not.
Yeah, the points values is, we now don't have to buy a book to get the points values.
Yeah.
That, which is great.
Yeah, and again, I mean, this is where you come back to the freedom that is the narrative type of play, where you can just turn around and go, right, no, I don't care about that new book. I'm going to play this set of rules, and potentially, if you see a rule that you like somewhere else, you basically house rule it, and you can hybridized editions and things even.
It comes down to what Michael said right at the start. What was that first thing you do for a game?
Yeah, you negotiate the rules with your opponent.
Yeah.
Like, how are we playing? You know, are we playing? What type of game are we playing? How big is it? Which rule books are we using? You know?
Is all of the terrain made of explodium?
Yeah. Which beer are we drinking?
Yeah.
That's the most important one.
Right? Hmm.
Yeah. All right, so we got a little off topic, but I think it's important to talk about as well. Look, we're happy to go down another episode to talk about Grand Tournaments and then talk about Eternal War and talk about that. We're sort of focused on Crusade tonight because we want to talk about narrative play, and I think we all agree that's probably one of the better ways to get a continuous narrative play.
It's definitely the easiest way to set one up, by the sounds of it.
It can really help with your narrative play if everyone who's involved can see the rules, and it feels less like the guy running it is making up as he goes along. Yes. It can really help maintain the longevity of your game.
Yeah. There's a lot of that whole like, I made the rules. Oh, I didn't think of that. Here's a new rule.
Yeah. It helps. Consistency can help, even with narrative play, where, you know, changing stuff is the way to go.
And you can jump in.
I know for Starship Troopers, we went to great lengths to try and make that not, like, fucked from a balancing perspective, because that was very, very easy to destroy and just make completely not fun.
Yeah.
And
with the Crusade, you can jump in at any time.
And it's got the mechanisms in place to keep it fair mostly fun.
So you might have one person who plays 15 games, only one person plays two, but when they meet each other, there'll be, as you said, that balancing mechanism to not make it so one-sided. Or you could have a scenario that says, well, you only get half your units. Sodger.
Yeah.
Yeah, because there are missions in there that to tweak things and stuff like that. It's not full Tempest of War stuff, but you can't have any infiltrators. That can suck.
Or it has that missed one that we had previously, that all damage, all range is halved because the map that you're on, the planet that you've landed on, it's in there. That's part of the Crusade mission.
Was it? I don't remember that one.
There's like three or four Crusade books which actually has different missions, and one was like different things.
Yeah. Just roll a six and it gets perfect weather, right?
Yes. The old Necromunda with the random terrain effects. This game, the floor is lava. That was one of them.
Yes.
And then there was the whole non-flying units fly and flying units walk.
That's nuts.
You weren't a fan of my flying tanks, Greg?
It was more of the 24-inch flamers that hurt more.
Ah, the 24-inch flamers. That was such a great game.
That's right. I remember that working quite well for me.
And on that note, we're going to finish up the night. I want to thank everyone who joined in tonight. Look, the camera's had enough of me too. Thank you, everyone, who joined in tonight. I think we all agree that Crusade is something you should at least give it a go, especially if you're interested in having that storytelling side of the game, a consistent storytelling. I think it's the big key, consistent. You can have your own one-off games and stuff, but this will give you a nice story. We all love stories. Bedtime stories, for fun. Who doesn't want to talk about cow spawns at bedtime? So, thank you very much. We should do the socials that we all know so well, because Michael is all about the Twitter.
You want me to, as in you want my Twitter, or you want the RLG Twitter?
You can do both, mate.
Oh, okay, yeah. Well, it's at RLG Oz Gaming.
It is. What about yourself?
Yeah. Myself, I'm at Dirty Scotsman, although I don't do much on there.
No, Dirty Scotsman. Yeah. Mark, what about our Instagram that you use so much?
I still don't know.
Not safe for work then.
Maybe RLG40K.
What about yourself?
I've actually had my old Instagram tag bought off me, so I have a new one. It is now Monolithic Stuff.
What is it?
Monolithic Stuff.
Right. Did you say something about your old one?
Yeah, someone bought it off me.
Someone bought it off you. Fair enough.
Funnily enough, a miniature designer.
Fair enough.
It's a bit of a thing lately. Brand integration, just finding people who beat you to a name and buying it off them.
Yeah.
Monolithic Stuff is mine. I will update my Twitch details.
Okay, cool. I'll have to update the credits on this as well. Facebook, Mark, the other one.
RLG40K.
He's all over it. Look at that. Look at this head wobble too. Yeah, I got this one.
I'm going to fail.
I'm just trying to remember what's left. YouTube!
Oh, I'm going to fail at that. Hang on. Can we at least wait for 5 seconds?
Wait to come around.
Isn't it something like RLG Gaming, real life, real loud gaming?
Yeah, betcha.
RLG Real Life Gamers? Real life?
Yeah. Real loud.
That's a misprint. Real loud gamers. Wow.
Yeah.
Professionalism. Yeah. 52 episodes of it. You're welcome. And of course, you can find me here on the Twitch channel, Redbelly. I think Monolith, this one here, he thought he might start using the RLG Twitch channel, so stay tuned.
What?
You said you're about something about 7 Days to Die?
Oh, yeah. I'm going to hopefully, yes, once I figure out how, first of all, A, how to be a Twitch streamer properly. Oh, yeah. But yes, on one of the servers that I play on, it's bound to have a reset soon. So hopefully I can do that because it's got some really savage mods on it. So hopefully you'll see me on some 7 days to die streams.
Sounds good.
Cool.
You can find me, of course, Tuesday and Thursday Hobby Nights here on Redbelly Twitch channel. My Instagram is RedbellyBlack. Oh, I've got to remember my other stuff. I have other stuff too. Twitter. It's really good. I know it.
That bird website.
That bird website. Redbelly RLG. I could have guessed it and I would have got it. Bloody hell. I think that's everything. I think we've done it all. We're all good.
That's excellent. Good.
We're going to get out of here, folks. Thank you for joining us. Say goodnight, Marks.
My little
see yous.
What was that? I got to see yous. Don't be a dick. Adam, say goodnight.
Say goodnight.
I also say goodnight, and I'll see you on a Tuesday or Thursday night, of course.
Goodnight, everyone.
Radio Mike, take it away.
So, there are many ways to play, but there's no wrong ways to play. Just options, because we're all individuals. So forge that narrative, and join us next month for more Wobbly Player Syndrome.